Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Program. I'm Susan Masika. Switzerland is a nation of German, French, Italian, and Romansh speakers. But it's also home to a thriving English language theater scene. The most prolific clubs host weekly play readings and put on two shows a year. For club and audience members, getting involved isn't just a fun hobby. It's also a chance to connect and feel at home away from home. On a rainy Monday evening, I checked in with the Zurich Comedy Club.
Let's start from, we'll skip Cassandra's old voodoo around the house.
Established in 1954, the club focuses on theater, not comedy, although many of the plays that they put on are indeed humorous. They were busy rehearsing for their production of Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, a Tony Award-winning comedy about siblings arguing about whether to sell the family homestead.
In this production, I play Cassandra, who is the housekeeper, but more importantly, she's psychic, and she has a lot of information in her head. The problem is, though, that no one ever believes her predictions.
That was Marianne Ehlewein, originally from the U.S. She's lived in Switzerland for over 25 years and has been a member of the Zurich Comedy Club for about 12. Love of theater is one thing that connects club members. But there's more to it than that. If you're an expat like Marianne, or any of her stage colleagues like Buki Stoutmeister and Kieran Corser.
I've played everything on stage, from a dog to a rapping nun. So I've played quite a wide variety of roles on stage, and when I'm not on stage, I usually help with costumes or makeup or front of house. We do everything here in the club.
It's more than just a theater group, it's a friendship group as well, which I think is very good for people who are especially expats in this area. And then when you find the ZCC, the Zurich Comedy Club, and realize that they do, well, two or three shows a year, and exciting theater, different theater, and they are really easy to get involved with because they get you involved as soon as possible. So I'm now like the ticketing manager for the club, and I'm in this latest show as well.
I have met some of my best friends here at the club, and it is a wonderful creative outlet. It's a family for a lot of expats who don't have family nearby.
Director Claudia Vicky is a former professional actor, singer, and dancer, with a degree in drama production from the University of Arizona. She's been with the club since 1998 and has directed several plays. She's impressed with the club's level of ability and says that she's very fortunate to have a strong cast.
I'm very fortunate to have a very strong cast this time. When you, in comedy clubs, you'll get a variety of levels of actors, some with more experience, some with less experience. So sometimes you almost become an acting teacher besides being the director. In this case, I'm having a lot of fun because I can just give them notes and ask them questions. So instead of telling them how I want them to play the role, I can watch what they do and then say, well, tell me about this, or what about this, or can you try it this way, or think about this when you say that line, and then they can work on it at home and bring you back something different. I can say, yes, remember what you did, because that's what I want. So for this particular play, I'm very fortunate to have very good and experienced actors. Yeah.
I find actors with even more experience across town, namely at the Zurich Club's weekly meeting and play reading. There's a room full of people chatting, laughing, and enjoying a glass of wine.
Meeting on a Monday is another secret, I think, of our success, is that we have like a home. And we have been in this building here, the St. Andrews Community Centre, for maybe 40 years, since it was built, we've been meeting here. And when you have a little centre where people come to, they know every Monday evening that there's something on, they come.
That was Paul Bilton, president of the Zurich Comedy Club. He'd have joined the club much earlier than the year 2000 if his teaching career hadn't been keeping him busy on Monday nights. He introduces me to Alan Bridgman, who joined the club in 1955, just a year after its founding. You heard me right. A man who's been in the club for over 60 years. I asked Alan what's kept him a loyal member for so many decades.
I started when I was still at school, and when I was in university, amateur dramatics attracted me very much. And in fact, when I was in the university, I acted in one or two things with people who went on to become professional actors and became quite famous. But I did not become famous. I went into the insurance business and came to Switzerland. But I always enjoyed being on the stage or helping behind the stage or having something to do with amateur dramatics. It's very valuable for me. And especially if you're working in a very dull, dry business like insurance, having your evenings taken up with something dramatic, something theatrical, is a very good contrast, which kept me feeling cheerful all through my life.
The club has also helped him get through difficult times in his life. Asked about his most memorable role, he told me it was in a play called Pack of Lies in the spring of 1987.
Based on a true event, actually, Russian spies in England, and they were very good friends of an English couple. They made themselves out to be very good friends of the English couple. And eventually, we discovered that they were spies, and their wife, my wife, was very upset and eventually died. And the reason I remember this particularly is because my wife, my real wife, was at that time already dying, and she died a few months later. So for me, that is a memorable role.
Later, Alan found love again when he met and married Joan, another member of the Zurich Comedy Club. She's lived in Switzerland for about 50 years and has been a club member for nearly 30. She joined partly to start speaking English again.
I joined because I love theatre and I wanted to speak English again because I've been in Switzerland about 50 years now and all I spoke was Schweizerdeutsch. And I came to Comedy Club thinking, now I'll speak English again. And I was immediately in the next production that they had. And from then on, I didn't look back. I enjoy being on stage. I love it. I like the acting. I've done singing and dancing as well. And over the years, you grow to think you have to do something in every play to help the others. You're not in every play. So in every production, there's something you can do. You can be a prompter, souffleur, or you can be front of house, serving the drinks, checking the tickets, taking the coats, whatever. That sort of thing, and you become part of a big team. That's a lovely feeling. And now I have friends, especially if you've been on stage with somebody, you are a friend afterwards. Because for 3 months, you have relied on each other. If one forgets something, oh my God, it's going to be... So somebody backs you up, helps you. You get to know people when it's a crisis, and then they're your friends. And I've been in so many productions, I have a lot of friends now.
In contrast to these long-term members are people who are new to the club, and quite new to Switzerland, notes Marianne, who serves as the club's membership secretary.
We've noticed in the past 10 years or so that the culture in Zurich has become even more transient than it was before, and that affects our club as well. We get a lot of people who come just for, you know, a few months, and then they leave. They're either here to study or just on a short-term assignment with work. We found that there are just many more ways for people to fill their time now, whether it's entertainment or whether it's other hobbies that they can do. So, you know, maybe even 20, 30 years ago, people came here, they stayed for a long time, and there was only one or two things that they could do in English, and now there's so many more options.
That's the end of Act 1. In a moment, Act 2, and a change of scene. In Bern, a few weeks later, I attend a performance of The Woman in Black, a supernatural thriller put on by Upstage, an amateur theater group founded in 1982. Most of the seats are occupied, suggesting that there's a demand for English-language theater in the Swiss capital as well. During the intermission, I turn to a group of English-speaking ladies who turn out to be former members of Upstage.
Because when it started, there wasn't much for us to do in English here except go to the movies. And so this was a way of just having an English evening out, right? And they'd do things like Aykroyd and good plays that were worth seeing, that you'd pay a lot of money to go and see in London or in New York, that we could see here.
We had musicals on the stage. Didn't they do Oklahoma?
They did,
and
Oklahoma.
They did Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah.
And you could imagine the number of people that would have had to participate to put on such a show. Costumes were also a really big thing. We knew some of the people that were doing the costumes. And it was always a really interesting aspect of English life in Berne.
I strike up a conversation with another audience member, an American expat who's lived in London and Shanghai as well, and who's thrilled to be at a play in Berne.
This is a bit of home, and you get so tired of television, and I wanted to see live theater, because with the West End and living in the U.S., I need theater, and thank you, Berne. Thank you, thank you, thank you, or danke, danke, danke.
And out of curiosity, how often would you have gone back in the U.S. or, say, in London?
Oh, my gosh. We were very active growing up in the theater. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, so we were once a week at the Guthrie, the Orpheum. So we were once a week theater goers. And then when we moved to England, at least twice a month to the West End. And then when in Shanghai, at least two or three times a week just to see a different play and things like that. So, yes, it's been wonderful. And I'm so grateful it's here. Very grateful.
But it's not just native English speakers who appreciate this kind of entertainment. I meet a Swiss man who tells me that he often attends plays in English. I also overhear Swiss German among other attendees. Back in Zurich, Paul Bilton estimates that at any given performance, native English speakers are actually outnumbered by Swiss German speakers.
I've been here for 29 years now, and I've seen English explode. It was a niche 60 years ago now when we started. And through that time, it's kind of developed. We've built up a very, very faithful audience. It's not rocket science. You basically put on a play people want to see. You put it on in the same theatre every time. You put it on in the same month, which is May and November, and you send out your flyers in good time, and you build up a good list, and bingo, you've got a... And of course, you actually perform plays that are not half bad or not half good.
And over the years, club membership has also evolved dramatically.
This has changed a lot, actually. When the club was originally formed, it was only British people with British English. Then we let a few colonials in. And today, I think probably this evening, you will see probably 50% are not even native speakers of English.
By tonight, he means at that week's play reading, where a few club members read from scripts and perform an informal, unrehearsed version of a play for the rest of the group. But what about the formal productions, where people pay about 30 or 40 Swiss francs for a ticket? How do they manage to ensure a sufficient level of English?
It has provided us with some difficulties because, of course, like me, everybody wants to act. And we have put together plays with five or six different nationalities playing, theoretically, one nationality. And we have a very forgiving audience. Of course, our audience are not predominantly English speakers. We have, I think, 60% are non-English speakers, and they can't tell the difference.
It's a similar situation in Berne, as I hear from Upstage member Robertus, who's helping out behind the scenes that night.
I'm originally from the Netherlands, so I reside here in Switzerland since about 19 years. And I actually heard about this English-speaking theatre group, so I joined back in 2004. Just gave me a little chance to keep on speaking English. and it's been very, very nice. Nice, an international group with people from all over the world.
And sometimes a foreign accent can be an advantage, like for Finnish actor Tommy Gustav, who's playing a foreigner. This is his first performance in English after joining the club 3 years ago. But isn't it intimidating all the same? That pressure to get the pronunciation and intonation down pat, on top of memorizing lines and stage directions.
It is, in a sense, most of my English comes from the fact that I read in English even as a teen. Somehow I was drawn to the kind of neutral language of English. And so it is challenging, and I offered, and I kind of, one of the challenges why I really wanted to get involved more was also then to get rid of my intonation as much as possible. Good and bad in this production is that my character actually needs that accent, and my accent actually plays in favor for the character. So in this sense, I'm in a very good position to play Spike.
Speaking of accents, what about British versus American English? Should actors be cast according to nationality, with Brits playing Brits and Americans playing Americans? Director Claudia Vicky says that's up for debate.
I would say that that's an argument we have in the club, that the Brits think you have to cast Brits. The accent's not important to me as much as the characterization is. In this particular play, we have someone from Ireland, Irish guy. We've got a woman from Canada. I think the rest of the people happen to be Americans. But unless the play is in a specific place in the UK, or we did a play that took place in New York, so you really had to have a New York accent, you know, because the ladies were New York Jewish ladies and they talk like this. And we had a British woman play one of them, and she had to learn how to speak like a New York person, you know. But I would say generally, unless it's area specific, I don't care about the accent.
And as Club President Paul said earlier, many audience members can't tell the difference anyway. But it's not just non-native speakers who can be fooled, as I found out in Bern. The former upstage members, all ex-English teachers, disagreed about whether the two male actors were in fact from English-speaking countries.
I'm amazed at the English that they are producing. I'm absolutely flabbergasted by the good way that they are pronouncing English. It's wonderful. Just great.
So these aren't native English speakers?
I would say not.
No.
You can hear they're not. But it's a matter of supporting what they do here in Bern. They need people to come to these plays, and so from time to time, not everyone, we go and see them.
Mm-hmm. I suspect that this Tim Pryor, actually, the one playing Mr. Kipps, I suspect he is English mother tongue, but the other one most likely isn't. There's a bit of an accent.
To tell you the truth, I don't know what I heard either. I just know that I enjoyed the production. It was suspenseful, entertaining, and even a bit scary. And isn't that part of the magic of theater? To be taken away to another world, spending a couple of hours with people and places and situations you could never have imagined, and enjoying hearing it in your own language, if that happens to be English. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for more on Switzerland's culture scene, including theater, dance, film, music, literature, and art. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Donnie Wheeler. I'm Susan Masico.